Hello and welcome to Hope Podcast.
You're going to be listening to so many beautiful voices, so many beautiful stories.
As we're celebrating the Refugee Festival in 2023, the theme for this year is hope.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode. My name is Anne Duncan, and today I am joined by a very, very, very interesting, lovely person, and he's going to be introducing himself in just a little while. But first, again, we talk about the weather. Hi, Ibrahim.
Hi, Anne.
How are you liking the weather today?
Yes, definitely. It's the best ever.
Yeah, we're not used to Glasgow and sun together, are we?
Yes, because normally they say you can't trust the weather in Glasgow. But this one, I trust it.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Me too. And I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Ibrahim, please introduce yourself to our listeners, who you are, where you're from, and anything else you want to share.
My name is Ibrahim Kamara, coming from Sierra Leone, West Africa, a very small country, and from a Muslim background, and I've been doing entertainment the whole of my life back home, and I'm trying to do that now in the UK.
Okay, that is quite interesting, and I can't wait to hear much about that. So does that mean in your family or in your community, you're one of those kids who loved dancing, entertaining the family? When the visitors come to visit, then your parents call you to come and perform a dance?
Yes, yeah, because all the time as a kid, I do listen to radio presenters, and all the time, like, I'll grab something, I said, this is my microphone, started talking to people like I'm in the radio station. So I'm that kind of kid. Whenever, like, we have a gathering, I'll be there, this is the microphone, I'm presenting, I'm the chairman, I'll be talking to people. So it's me.
Okay. Yeah. So growing up, did you have that one person that you looked up to and you're like, oh, I want to be like him when I grow up?
Yes, there was one radio presenter by the name of Egerton Shaba. Since I was a kid, I do admire him so much because he's the one that do organize entertainment programs for musicians and sometimes DJ competition. So all the time, Egerton Shaba is on the radio, I do say, oh, I want to do more. I can do better than Egerton Shaba. So he's like a mentor, and I do admire him a lot.
Oh, amazing. So is he still on radio even now?
He's not on radio. He has traveled to the US for a very long time now, and he's not in entertainment for now.
All right. So take us back to you growing up. So were you the only child, or are you from a big family?
Yes, I'm from a big family, you know, more than 16 of us, and from different mothers. You know, my dad have a lot of kids, you know, and like six mothers with different children. So like we have an extended family, you know, Muslims.
Yes.
We have a lot of kids and wives, you know. I'm yes. from that kind of family.
So you're the entertainer, the MC.
Yes, I'm the entertainer, the MC. But you know what? You know, they don't like it.
Oh, and can you elaborate? Why don't they like it?
Because from a Muslim background, in the morning, you have to go for prayers, you know, and looking at entertainment, me all the time organizing entertainment programs, like putting earrings, you know, the style of ear cuts, you know, they don't like it. It's like I'm choosing the wrong path. Uh-huh. I'm choosing the wrong path. But it wasn't me, and it's still in me, and that's me. So I can't change it. Mm-hmm.
So, but you still did what your parents wanted you to do. And were you playing with your books or, you know?
Yes, because my mom was a school teacher.
Uh-huh.
She always wanted me to be a teacher, but I don't like it. You know, I like entertainment all uh-huh. the time. And when I started organizing my own entertainment programs, mm-hmm. there was no, like, encouragement from the beginning.
So who supported you then? And how did you do it? Did you do it without their knowledge? Where did you start? When was the first time when you thought, you know what, I can actually do something in entertainment? I can actually either perform or get involved. Take us through the beginning of your entertainment journey.
You know, June 16 is the International African Children's Day. And in Africa, normally, we do organize programs on that particular day, you know, for young kids, you know, school parties. And in my community, it was like a poor, deprived community. I started like gathering children, training them how to perform, like fashion, sometimes poem reading, you know, quiz competition. And I started writing some donation letters to community stakeholders for sponsors for me to get those less privileged children in one place, organize a party for them and some educative programs like the poem reading and the quiz competition. So I started all in my community, and it was very difficult because there was no support in the beginning. There was no support because people look at you, oh, these young kids, you're training them to become fashion stars or modelers, you know, so most people don't like it. It was very, very difficult.
So, and how did you go about the challenges that you faced then?
The thing is that I keep pushing. I said, this is what I want to do and I'll do it. And there was one man by the name of Idris Said Kamara. He owns one institute by the name of Safer Future. You know, he was one of the person that do motivate me and encourage me. And sometimes he will help me with some school materials, like kids performing, and after the programs we can give them school materials and help them out. And I said, oh, let me just push and push on, you know. But it becomes a time when someone from Galaxy Radio, a lady from Galaxy Radio, she was manager, gave me the opportunity to volunteer with Galaxy Radio, and I started doing things at Galaxy Radio. So from that time, you know, people started looking at me, oh, he's getting there. He's doing the right thing. Mm-hmm.
So on Galaxy Radio, what are some of the things that you volunteered to do?
I was reporting and presenting a radio talk show, you know. Mm-hmm.
So, and at this time, or are you in your 20s? Are you in your teens? How old are you, around how old are you? Were you then?
I was in my 20s at that time. I was in my 20s.
And so you decided, okay, I'm not going to go to college. I'm not going to do all these other things. I am very focused in. So what were you focused in that time?
After secondary school, I was in college. I was doing media studies at Lixal College back home, and I dropped out because of some reasons. But at that time, I said, okay, this can't stop me. I have the opportunity volunteering in the radio station, and there we are some trainings organized by the BBC Media Action for radio practitioners or people working in the media. So I took that opportunity. I grabbed it. You know, I go for it, and I have some certificates from the BBC Media Action. And I remember one time, like, there was a workshop, The Value of Airtime, and I got the certificate, and there was a mentor, Hassan Aroni from BBC, who was there, and he motivated me a lot, say, oh, you can do it. You can do it because I can see it in you. And I started getting the respect and recognition from the community people and from stakeholders at that particular time.
Yeah, because, you know, it's when you prove yourself that the family or the community now appreciate, you know, something that they didn't see the value or they did not understand. Because, again, even now, media is quite misinterpreted in Africa or in most African countries. Yes. There's a lot of stigma, and then people are not taken seriously because it's entertainment. They don't feel like entertainment is that important.
Yes.
So, but at the same time, did you use this appreciation and understanding from your community to do more, or what happened?
Yes, like I started organizing beauty pageant show for young girls in like designing contest for young guys. You know, when I started that one, you know, sometimes I'll be like, I will spot some young girls around the community and say, oh, you can be a model star. You can go into the fashion world. I can go, sometimes I do talk to them, their parents, but most of the parents can't accept that. You know, I remember there was a lady who, like, she was a beauty contestant, you know, being trained by me. And I was having a lot of problem with the mom, you know, oh, you're not doing the right thing. You're taking my daughter out of the house at night, going for beauty pageant tree. But there was one time that she won one of the biggest awards in the community, and it was like a huge money. And from that, I mean, our mom was like exciting, glad, and they started realizing that, oh, is taking them to another level, mm-hmm. you know. But at the beginning, it was so difficult, like I said before, because no support. And you know, we have this people with dwarfism in our country.
Yeah.
People do look at them like, you know, look at them like people that are not important in the society. Mm. Those ones, one day I said, oh, can I just change these people from being laughing at them and make them somebody important in the community? I started like training them, say you can become modelist mm-hmm. in the community, you can become fashion stars, you know. And I started organizing beauty pageant programs for people with dwarfism. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I can go around the country, even from the city, going to the provinces, highlight them, bring them to the city, organize a big fashion show for them or a beauty pageant show for them, and most of them become stars, you know. Instead of people look at them, provoking them or mocking at them, so they become stars. People paying money to go and watch them, to see them. They become celebrities. Yeah. They become more important in the community. So from all those activities, it's like I started gaining momentum from the community, from the country. People started like coming around to give me support because of what I've been doing.
Oh, that's amazing and well done. I also remember you mentioned you did a fashion show for the elderly.
Yes. Back in Africa, in my country, old people like above 50 or 60s, you know, all the time they are just like sitting at home, got nothing to do. And because of the culture, they are not allowed to like be part of entertainment or fashion programs. So I realized that, oh, I just want to change this kind of thing. One day I said, oh, I want to organize a program called is Granny, Old Granny Contest, you know, for elderly people, and old grandpa contest. You know, we call them grandpa or grandma. Mm-hmm. So it was a fashion show that I have people, professionals, train them, explain to them what we need from them. And we organize one of the biggest shows events in the community. And I remember there was one old man who said, oh, Ibrahim, I've not seen my wife so beautiful for many years. Oh. She's looking good. And you know what? Those old people, those grandpa or grandma, they become celebrities too. Mm-hmm. You know, and people started organizing old granny contest and grandpa contest around the country. So, yeah, it becomes like a national program all the time. You know, at first they were looking at them, oh, you can do this, you can go on stage, you can be modelist, you can fashion, and they become stars, mm-hmm. you know.
Ah, amazing. Well done. You've done a good job in your country.
Yeah.
And what else did you do when it comes to radio?
Yes. When I was, like, volunteering with Galaxy Radio, I spend most of my time in radio media training. I did one with the BBC Media Action, which is the mentorship program for African people working in the media back in Africa. I did another one with UNHCR. In collaboration with Journalists for Human Rights, reporting on ethical issues for children. And I did a lot of training in Galaxy Radio. When I went to Victor Radio, another radio in the eastern part of Sierra Leone, I was doing a lot of programs like security talks, talking about security issues in my community, bringing stakeholders from the security and community people sitting around a round table, see how best we can tackle security issues in the community. And there was another program called Choose One I was doing on the radio. And I explained about the one called the Triple M Show. You know, that one has a lot of listeners, you know.
Yeah. So how long did you work in the radio before coming to the UK?
My entire life after breaking down from college is just being on the radio.
And then you find yourself here and doing the same thing.
Yes.
Please take us through that journey of how do you leave Sierra Leone, a young man, and then come to the UK, come to Glasgow, and then you are already in Glasgow. And this time around, you're not joking because you even get a nomination for an award.
Yes.
Yeah. Please take us through that lovely journey.
Back home, I was having a lot of issues, like from the media. You know, Africa, the media, there are a lot of issues or things you can see on the radio because of it being controlled by the government, you know. But it was challenging. And when I arrived in the UK, at first, you know, being in the asylum process, I was like, oh my God, where can I start? I've been on the radio and the media for a very long time. I want to do the same thing here. But at first, I was given the opportunity by Robbie. He is working with Govan Hill Community to do a training with Radio Buena Vida, with Greater Govan Hill Community Radio Program. And I did that training, which was very, very successful. And last year, I happened to be the host for the refugee festival on Radio Buena Vida. And I met Chris, and Chris did the storytelling training with us with Refugee Council, which was very, very good. And, you know, I started building up my own CV, say, oh, I'm in the UK. There are opportunities in the UK for people in the media. Whenever I explain my story to people, especially in Glasgow, people will say, oh, go for it, you know. And I try my best to go for those opportunities. And, you know, this year I did another training with Chris again for the podcasting, which we are doing now, you know, and it's very good for me. And I did another program with BBC Radio 4 on the food program. And that program was is nominated for one of the, it's shortlisted for the Refugee Festival Media Awards this year, and the program that I did last year with Radio Buena Vida. So, like, it's amazing being here, you know.
Yeah. So how does that make you feel? Like, when you see that you haven't even brought everything that you do, you've not brought out all these talents, and your work is being associated with success, and also, you know, there's all this learning you're getting, the opportunities, and, you know, how do you feel?
I feel good because, trust me, when I arrive in the UK, most asylum seekers can't just go out for the opportunities. You know, they limit themselves, you know. But for me, I was thinking, oh, how? There are opportunities here. I need to go for them. And people are there that want to give you the support. So I started going out looking for those opportunities and grab them. And, you know, today is the media awards for the Refugee Festival. And being shortlisted for two awards, you know, it makes me feel good. And another thing I remember when we are at the the past podcast training, I met you, Anne, and you said, oh, Ibrahim, it's good for you to go in the media. And you gave me that opportunity to do the training with Jambo Radio, which we did last week. And it was very good for me. And I want to say thanks for that. And yesterday I was at Jambo Radio with the proprietor or the manager,
yes,
explaining about my ideas to him, and he welcomed the ideas and say, oh, Ibrahim, I can give you the opportunity to be part of Jambo Radio. So you see, I can't even limit myself. I normally go out, look for the opportunities, grab them, and I want to say thanks to you, Chris, and all those who have been behind me, you know, in this journey.
Amazing. But you see, success comes to those who look for it. You know, when I was growing up, one of my mentors said, there's a famous quote, I can't remember who by, it says, success is preparedness met by opportunity.
Yes.
So it means that you've always been prepared in your, you know, in your trade, in your media work, entertainment. And then now when the opportunity comes, if you're prepared, then that becomes a success.
Yes.
And that's what we are seeing today, isn't it?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And like I said, it's very good for me because, you know, being in the UK, I remember being part of the Sierra Leone community that organized the Sierra Leone Independent Celebration, which was in April 29th, on the 29th of April. I was part of it, you know. And I was one of the most active members in organizing that program, bringing musicians from London and Newcastle to perform for the Sierra Leone community. And that was like my best day in the UK because being back home organizing entertainment programs, and I've started it again in Glasgow in the UK, you know, it's like I'm doing the thing that I love doing,
yeah,
you know. So like you're saying, it's about going for it, you know. It's like having the passion, the dreams, you know. And thank God the theme for the refugee festival this year is hope.
Yeah.
So I'm always open for the best, and I'm always looking forward for the best.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Thank you so much for sharing that. My other question is, you mentioned that going for it and other asylum seekers, you know, like, for example, when you came in as a new asylum seeker back then, it was very challenging to find these opportunities, but you went out. So if today there's someone who's listening to this podcast and they're thinking, I know someone who's new in the asylum process, I know someone, or myself, I am an asylum seeker, I don't know where to start, I don't even know anybody, I don't know what organization can help me, you know, what would be your advice to them?
Well, first of all, you don't need to limit yourself. You have the skills. And most asylum seekers have the skills, you know. But the thing is that they always feel like, oh, we are just in the asylum process. We don't need to go out. We don't need to meet people. And the thing is that the more you explain your story to people, the more people in Glasgow, they are people that want to give you the opportunities, you know, to do something very, very good for yourself. So if you just sit down saying, oh, I'm in the asylum process, I'm waiting, when is my process being granted, or you're looking forward in that, not going out, doing good things, you know, you need to go out there, explain to people about what you've been doing back in Africa or what you want to do, and people are here that are ready to, like, help you and get the opportunities. So my message to them is, like, we are asylum seekers. We should not limit ourselves. We have skills. We have talent. And we should go for them. And there are people that are ready to help us. So it's good for us.
And how about if someone is feeling like they don't have, they don't know which organization, where to find these organizations?
You know, in the UK, there are a lot of organizations, and you have your, let me say, you have a phone. Sometimes you just Google for charity organizations in the UK. Some of them might prop up. And sometimes, you know, ask other people, How are you getting along? You know, how are you going about this thing? And people can explain to you. And whenever you explain, like I said, you have the opportunities. But if you just sit down, not asking people, you can't know what's there. So let me say, for me, Ibrahim, I met you. I explained to you about my story, and you helped me. And it's because I explained to you. If I just like I met you and say, oh, I don't want to speak anything, I don't want to say anything, let me just be in my little corner, you know, it's not good for me. Mm-hmm. It's because I explained myself and you gave me the opportunity.
Right. And something else we forgot to speak about is your you mentoring other young people. You are still mentoring young people in Sierra Leone.
Yes.
And it is like, a while back I was interviewing one of my friends called Paul from Canada, and he said that he's in the creative industry as well. And he was saying in life, his philosophy is he receives from the front and he passes it back.
Yes.
So it's like you are learning from different organizations and people and you pass that with this other arm behind you for people who look up to you, for people who are behind you, for people who need your help.
Yes.
So what drives you to be able to do that? Like for you to be excited to help others who need your help?
Like I said, I do admire Egerton Shaba using the microphone all the time. And when I was back home, I was one of the best MCs in the country, you know. And being one of the best, I do train a lot of young guys. Because for me, whenever I'm organizing programs, I have a lot of celebrities coming for the program. And I have young guys, I do tell them, today, you're going on stage. You'll be the presenter on stage. You'll do this. Say this, say this. You learn from your mistakes. And I've been doing that. I have a lot of them. When I travel to the UK, I'm here. I've been organizing entertainment program. Most of those young guys, they are still organizing most of the programs I've been doing. And even though I'm in the UK, when they are doing their activities, they will like put my name on the banner. Said, oh, like, Ibrahim Balani in collaboration with Maudo Otoya, who is a popular comedian. So you see, still I'm still giving them the support. I'm still I'm doing things that I used to do back home, even though I'm in the UK. Sometimes I'll be on phone with them on WhatsApp. You know, they will explain to me, we want to organize this program. How can we go about it? You know, then I'll say, okay, you can do this, and do that. But how can we go about with the fundings? I said, just try, have some letters, go out to elderly people, community stakeholders, ask them for help. And sometimes they do help them because they've seen what I've been doing. And now they're saying, oh, Ibrahim has been in the UK and he's still doing it. And one thing that I admire when I arrive in Glasgow, there is one big writing in the city center at Glasgow's City of Glasgow College that says people make Glasgow. All the time when I see that thing, I say, oh, I want to be part of the community people that makes Glasgow. And I'm learning and I'm giving back to the community in Glasgow and in Africa. So I want to be that kind of person that learns something and at the end of the day, be part of the community, help other people from my experience and from my you know, from what I've achieved.
So, two more questions. I only have these two. I have okay. So many questions, but yeah. I will, you know, bring them to two. Refugee Week is coming. What are you participating and what are you doing? Are you excited about it? Are you excited to visit and engage in different activities? And what activities are there?
Yes, I have a lot of activities. Today is the media awards.
Yes.
Tomorrow is another one. I have a lot of them, like different organizations. Mm-hmm. Like for me, since I arrived in the UK, I try to engage in a lot of community programs, charity organization, different organization. So those organizations have a lot of programs celebrating us. They're celebrating us, the Refugee Festival and Asylum Seekers, you know. So I'm very busy. I'm busy every day.
What's your favorite?
My favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite is the award show today.
Because
it's like they do appreciate what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like it's a little, but it's big in the UK. Uh-huh. That's what is so good about it. Me from Africa, being in the UK, in Scotland, Glasgow to be precise, going for an award. You know, last year I was there with Chris as a guest.
Yes.
And this year I'm going there as one of the nominees. So it's good for me.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So my last question is, where do you see yourself if all things, without all these barriers, without any barriers, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Oh.
Or where would you like to be
in the next five years? First of all, as I've started training with Jambo Radio, and I've already given the opportunity to be part of Jambo Radio, I'm seeing myself like having my own radio show, you know, talking to people, inspiring people, changing lives of people, you know, through my story, my journey, you know, have my own programs and give back to the community, you know, because it's very good for me.
Yeah,
I have my own followers, you know, uh-huh. on radio, and even have my own TV show because I like being on TV too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. All right. At least it's good to know. And this is what you're saying. If you are interested in something and you like something, you just pick it. You just keep saying, I want this. Because now that you mentioned TV, something came up to my mind and I'm like, okay. You know, and someone else listening to this podcast will be like, oh, I know someone. Oh, I love TV. So, you know, I could invite you. I could invite him. You know, so I think that's great.
Yes.
Yeah. Any last words, encouragement, anything you want to say about Scottish Refugee Council or the podcast or anything?
Yes, I want to say thanks to the Scottish Refugee Council for giving me the opportunities, not even me, the asylum seekers and refugees in the UK. And I want to say thanks to Chris and yourself and Radio Buena Vida and for giving me the opportunity to learn new skills and be part of the media, you know, because, like I said, I've been doing it back home. But I've started doing it now here. I want to say thanks. It's a great opportunity. It makes me feel good. You know, it makes me feel like I'm in the society that I belong to.
Amazing. So thank you so much for joining me on this episode. And I hope everybody listening is enjoying it and loving it. And as Ibrahim has said, please don't be shy. Go out there, find your opportunities and go get them. Thank you.